Welcome to BDO's Legal Tech Talk podcast. We're joined by judges and legal professionals to discuss emerging trends, regulatory updates, and the latest headlines. We'll provide tips to help your law firms and legal departments make the most out of legal technology.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jared Crafton, BDO's Forensic Technology Practice Leader.
And I'm Daniel Gold, Forensics Principal and Leader of the eDiscovery Managed Services Practice.
Let's get started with this episode's exciting topic.
Welcome back to another BDO Legal Tech Talk podcast live from New York Legal Week. And we are so pleased that here in the suite here, our real studio that we've got here for this week, we have another very special guest. Please introduce yourself to everybody.
Hi, thank you. Yes, I'm Emily Barkowitz, I'm Litigation Support Manager at Ickerman, based in South Florida.
That's awesome. Well, Emily, welcome. We are so delighted to have you here. Normally, we say welcome to the virtual recording studio, but this is much better. And just so you know, this is the first time that Jared and I have actually ever recorded any episode in person together. And what we decided is that we actually like to be virtual recording this much better instead of in person.
I'm a little freaked out right now, to be honest.
I don't know. It's kind of nice. Everyone's been remote for so long. It's nice to reconnect.
All right. I'll wait till the end of the episode before I make a final decision.
Okay.
Fair enough. Just so everybody knows, so Ickerman, if you could tell us a little bit about the law firm. Is it a regional, is it a national, international law firm?
Yeah. So Ickerman's an Am Law 100 firm. We have 26-ish offices nationwide. And yeah, I'm based in South Florida in the Fort Lauderdale office. I've been there for almost 20 years. We service all different types of clients. We handle all different types of matters. And that's Ickerman.
So tell us a little bit about what you do, though, as the litigation support director.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I started my career actually as a paralegal at Ickerman. And then 4 years ago, one of the attorneys that I worked with extensively, he and I spun up a e-discovery services department within the firm. So we provide e-discovery solutions for Ickerman attorneys, their clients, and then some outside clients as well.
How many legal weeks for you now?
This is my fourth, I think. So 2020 was my first legal week.
We have talked to some other people on the show and otherwise who have been in e-discovery for a very long time. Mm-hmm. But it's only been like their second or the fourth, right? So I'm curious, so what brought you to say, hey, you know, I need to start coming to these? I've been in the industry.
Yeah.
But what is it about Legal Week that you said, I need to be here?
Well, my partner that I work with, he really encourages getting out there, getting your feet wet, educating yourself as much as possible. And conferences like this are a great platform to do that. The number of people that you meet and the things that you learn that you wouldn't learn just from reading email newsletters and local coffees, it's invaluable.
Feels busy down there.
It is busy. It's overwhelming. I tell you, I have the best sleep my first night home after being here for a week because it's exhausting, but it's a good kind of exhausting.
I heard just tangentially talking to some folks on the elevator that this is for real the largest, most well-attended legal week they've ever had in
the
history.
Is that right? Because yeah. I was wondering that because yeah. It has that feel, certainly. I mean, just walking the halls, it feels really, really busy.
It's not just really, really busy, but there is a sense of very positive energy. Mm-hmm. Are you feeling that? This positive energy that's around?
Oh, of course. I love it. This community, this legal tech community in general, is such a positive energy producer. But then to get everybody together in one room, it's something.
Yeah. What are people talking about? What's the buzz?
Goodness. Well, I think we all know the biggest buzz is the elusive AI. And what does that mean? And what does that look like? And where is it going? And it's an exciting time. I was talking to somebody the other night and I was like, I wonder if this is how people felt when light bulbs first came onto the stage or automobiles. Like we're kind of like at the dawn of a whole new technical revolution as opposed to industrial.
Why is this different than tar?
Well, tar still requires the human to make the decisions, whereas this generative stuff is offering to make the decisions for you. It's pretty amazing.
What does that say about us, huh?
We got to remember to rein it in and not let it take over.
Have you seen anything that has really caught your eye? Is there, anything that you've heard about that you're really interested in seeing? Are you going to go walk the exhibit halls?
So my role, I do a lot of consultative work on like the collection side, working with clients, identifying like their data sources and whatever. And so there's some kind of groundbreaking ideas out there to streamline data collection, which may not sound super sexy at first blush, but as you kind of dig into it more, I think that there's some disruptors out there that make it interesting for me.
Yeah. And from a data collection standpoint, what is the biggest challenge that you're seeing that you think that maybe Gen AI can assist with?
Ooh, That's a good question. What can't it really assist with? I think that we're kind of on this cusp of determining what all it can do for us. I mean, I suppose it could be useful somehow in really identifying those data sources that maybe people forget about and applying it to someone's entire landscape of all of the sources that they may have. And, oh, yeah, we found this one for you that you forgot about. So who knows?
Isn't that interesting that Gen AI can fill the gaps, is what you're saying?
Right.
And where we may forget about it. It's almost like, hey, we've got like a QC.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. It's interesting.
It's a force multiplier, right?
Totally.
It's like having business partners.
Totally.
It's keeping you honest. It's, totally. You know, it's QCing, like Daniel said. It's just multiplying your team.
Right.
And I think that's fantastic.
Yeah. We don't use it quite yet in an official capacity, but I'll use even just a ChatGPT or Copilot just to help edit my writing or helping me to create ideas or outlines for things. So
it's interesting. I'm curious, what do you think about this? So from where we're going in the legal profession, because I used the paid version of ChatGPT to see how it was different. And so I wrote some text on it. And then I said, challenge me on my assumptions and question me as to where I'm going. And it had an actual conversation with me, if such a thing could be said. It had a conversation with me and it asked me questions that were pertinent, they were relevant, and they were on point. My question to you is whether or not you think that's going to be, we're going to do deposition prep differently. We are going to do trial prep differently because it is there. The technology is clearly there because it asked me questions that I'm like, that's a good thought-provoking question. I hadn't thought about that. Let me give you the answer. Is this better? And I continuously refined it. Do you think that's where we're going with this?
I hope so. I mean, and you know, it's kind of interesting now that a lot of places are still hybrid or remote, and there's not as much one-on-one, especially with like younger attorneys coming to the profession. They may not have as much face-to-face interaction and nurturing that they would have if they're all sitting in an office. So having a tool like that to say, hey, it can almost kind of replace that piece of hand-holding or whatever, teaching people how to dig out more information that maybe they don't get that kind of special coaching or whatever over Zoom, but ChatGPT might help them in that sense.
Are you bringing it to the attorneys that you're working with at your firm as well? Or is it right now just really you experimenting with it?
Right now it's me experimenting on this side and not using it for my work, but using it for idea creation and whatnot. I think we're kind of following what seems to be the majority, which is cautious optimism, but capital C cautious at this point. But it'll be interesting to see as things develop, how we'll implement it.
Interesting. So you walk away with all of this great education. And as Jared heard me say, really look at education as being this gift, right? Mm-hmm. It's kind of selfish to like hold it all in, right? And it's really good to be able to share it, not just with your law firm, but share it with the community. I know you're active in the community as well. Mm-hmm. What is your plan to share what you have learned here to help other people thrive?
So actually this year is especially exciting for me because there's a member of my team who's new to the legal world. She's new to the workforce. She's just getting her career started and she's here with us. And I'm so excited for her to experience all of this, to see what you can learn, see how you can like develop your career by attending events like this. And not to mention introducing her to all the awesome people that I've met over the years. So that's actually the piece I'm most excited about, is just having the experience with somebody that's new and has so much to learn and watching them soak it all in.
That's amazing.
Well, Emily Barkowitz, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for joining us on BDO's Legal Tech Talk podcast.
If you're enjoying these podcasts, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe for more episodes.
Head over to BDO.com for a list of all of our episodes, transcripts, resources, and how to get in touch with us to continue the conversation.
Until next time, this has been another episode of BDO's Legal Tech Talk.